Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Sally Ann is with me here on the line today in Dubai. Sally Ann, how are things in the Middle East this afternoon?
We're okay here at the moment. Our flight for tomorrow morning was just cancelled, so we're not great.
So it's just been cancelled. And when were you due to fly out, Sally Ann?
We were due to fly home yesterday.
Okay.
So we had two flights cancelled yesterday and then a flight cancelled tomorrow.
So two yesterday and already your flight has been cancelled tomorrow. And have you been given any indication when that flight might take off?
No, I rang the airline company when I saw they were updated saying it was cancelled. And they were like, on our system, it's actually not cancelled yet. But the airspace has been closed again till 12 tomorrow night. So they just were like, ring us back in 4 hours. But ringing them is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. They just will not answer the phones.
Just, I'm sure that they must be absolutely, inundated with people calling. But still, yeah. I can appreciate for you that's very difficult. When did you arrive in the UAE?
We arrived last Wednesday.
Okay, so you're only meant to be there for what, 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, 5 nights, 4 days. A quick girl's trip turned wrong.
Is that what it was? It was a girl's holiday.
Yeah, me and my mum, my sister, we were bringing my sister over for her 30th. We surprised her with the trip.
And
so
it's been a fabulous surprise for us all. Yeah, it certainly has. And like, what a fabulous experience for a surprise 30th birthday to be told you're heading off to Dubai. Where were you on Saturday then when you heard what was happening?
So we were in the hotel and we had seen stuff online, but like everyone seemed very calm here. It seemed fine. We were like, I don't know if we're going to be that, closely affected. So we went out to the beach in midday and we started hearing booms above our head. And then we looked up and we could literally see smoke like right above us. And then we were like, oh, God. And then we could start to smell burning. And that's when I think we started to panic. We came straight in.
What did you think that was at the time, Sally Ann?
Honestly, we had no idea. When we heard the booms, we were like, they sound like they're so close, but you kind of know they're far away, but you don't really know what's happening. But the minute we smelled the burning, that was when we were like, okay, these are very close if we can smell them. We still don't really know. We assume they were missiles or drones being intercepted, but they don't really tell you much.
But you can obviously hear this as clear as day. I mean, it's if you're on the beach and you can physically smell it.
And we can see the smoke above our heads. Yeah. So like it was literally intercepted above us, one of them, and one in front of us on the beach. So we came into the room and then we were in bed that night and we got an alert on our phone. And it was like, you are at missile risk, get away from windows. And it was your phone just alarming, and that was terrifying.
Like when you're there, I'm trying to picture the scene here now, because if I was away with my mother and sister like this on a surprise holiday and I got a text flashing across the phone to tell me that I was at missile risk, what's going through your head when you get that? Like, is there panic or are people very calm about it, or what's the reaction?
No, pure panic. We like had to take our mattresses away from the room that we're in is just completely glass on one side where the beds are. So we have to take our mattresses, pull them towards the door, sleep on the floor, like get away from windows. There was people lining the hotel like walkway because it's all concrete. So then the hotel staff came around to us. We got two alerts like 8 minutes apart onto our phones to say that you're at missile risk. And that was when the hotel, it's about 3 kilometers away from us, was hit with debris. And then the airport was hit with debris. So that's why we got those alerts. So we slept on the floor. The hotel came around and they were like, the government haven't, said this is a state of emergency. You can go back to your room.
People are lining the hallway, the corridor, the hotel corridor.
Yeah, because there's concrete there. There's no glass. So you're thinking, okay, well, if something does hit, at least we're not going to be hit with glass. I mean, the roof can cave in, yes. But honestly, pure panic. We grabbed our passports, we grabbed our money, we grabbed like jumpers, we all put runners on. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
it's all very uncertain.
I can only imagine how I would react in a situation like that, listening to you. And you sound very calm in explaining all of this to us now, Sally Ann. What about your mum and your sister? How are they?
My mum's up the walls. My mum worries at the best of times. She was even scared coming into Dubai in general.
Oh, God, right.
So, yeah, it's just the three of us. So I feel like I've had to stay quite calm because, like, I've booked everything. I've been dealing with everything. Someone has to try and stay calm to try and get things done. Obviously, it's scary. It has definitely calmed down a bit. We haven't heard anything in the skies till since yesterday at about 9 a.m.
Okay.
Now, every couple of minutes, about 20 minutes, we can hear, like, we think they're fighter jets going over us. They're like policing the skies. So you're hearing them, but all day Saturday evening, all day Sunday, we're just sitting there having breakfast, lunch, dinner, listening to just boom, boom, boom. It is crazy. And it almost becomes normal.
I'm sure nothing you've ever experienced before, Sally Ann.
No.
I'm sure who would have experience of this, I suppose. Are your suitcases packed? Like, are you ready to go if you get a call from the airline?
Yeah, so we booked a flight. The Dublin flight was cancelled on Monday, so we just booked a flight to Milan because it was still looking like it was scheduled, and we were just thinking, we just want to get out of here. If we get to Europe, we don't care. So we didn't get any confirmation from the airline that was cancelled, so we went to the airport on Monday, and all the doors are closed. There's yellow signs in front of all the doors, like closing them off, and there's just police there, and got out of the taxi and he was like, get back in, the airport's closed. And then I tried to go to the Emirates head office. There was no one in the office that day, so we just kind of came back to the hotel, had to check back in. It's just, the whole thing's a bit crazy, and everyone's saying at home, like, oh well, just, you know, enjoy the sun. It's being covered by the UAE government, but like, there's no cover. We haven't been told that the UAE government are giving any money. Your travel insurance doesn't cover war, so that's out. And then Emirates have told us that they'll cover like €25 for a meal each day and £150.
You do well to get a meal in Dubai
actually.
Now for €25.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's not.
And
it's not known
it's
for
actually
being
£25. It's not even euros. And £150 a night for three nights only. So like, after that, you're kind of left to your own devices, really.
So at the moment, tomorrow's flight's cancelled. It's fingers crossed then for, yeah. And have you had an opportunity to sign up with the citizen registration, the Department of the Foreign Affairs system, the facility they have?
We've registered that we're here. We've all done it. And we've said that we're in this hotel. We haven't heard a thing from them. Their offices were actually closed yesterday. They weren't even accepting people like as walk-ins.
Sorry, who? The department? The Irish department?
Yeah, the embassy in Dubai was closed yesterday.
Right.
So we haven't heard anything. Like, we don't know if the Irish government are even trying to help. If they, like, we know that we've heard that the English government are trying to get people maybe to Oman and get them out that way. Mm. We have absolutely no clue. Like, we've had no contact from them at all. It's basically like we're just here and we're kind of getting the news when everyone else is.
Okay, well, we've been on to the Department of Foreign Affairs, all right, and I know, you know, they've sent long statements about this and they've been talking about it anyway, and you know that they're monitoring the situation, that they're providing consular assistance to affected citizens, talking about the uniqueness of this, also talking about maintaining close contact with airlines, that citizens who were in transit when the conflict began and where they are and what kind of place they're in. So hopefully, Sally Ann, you'll hear something in the not too distant future. Look after yourself and your poor mum and your sister as well. I can only imagine when you describe them being up the walls with worry. I've no doubt they must be going out of their mind. But hopefully we'll talk to you when you get back home. Tony is on the line, I think, as well. Tony, you're trying to get home from Australia, is that right?
Right. Myself and my partner are here, and we've been here for a couple of months. Daughter was getting married. So we saw on Friday all the bombing that was happening. So I tried to contact yesterday the Irish Embassy, Emirates, and I haven't actually heard anything back from them. The Emirates chat line or the chatbot line and the telephone was just ringing out and there was no answer. I had left messages with the embassy just to find out exactly what we need to do. We did ring the Department of Home Affairs here in Australia, but they can't really give you advice on what to do. So the story was that, well, you need to try and get your visas extended because the visa will run out on the 27th of March. So we have a little bit of time, but the flight is next week and we're just not really sure because, you know, there's we haven't planned for anything like this.
Sorry to cut across you, Tony, for a moment. So as it stands, you weren't due to fly home till next week anyway, is that right?
No, we weren't due to fly home till next week.
Yeah, so you were just sort of, you were just being organised and trying to get things in motion. And I wonder, is there an option to fly back via Istanbul or through via another country?
Well, what we've been told is that don't cancel your ticket because the prices now via there have tripled, somewhat quadrupled, just to get a one-way flight back. Now, if we can get a visa extension, I have daughters living here, so we could probably stay, but it's not really ideal.
No.
Really need to get back home, to be honest with you.
Because work and everything else, I assume that goes with it, that has to be done here in Ireland. How concerned are you and your partner at the moment? And I'm sure others that you're talking to that are in the same situation as you.
Well, we're actually just we're just having a bite to eat outside. Yesterday was just a stressful day. So we decided to come out and get a bite to eat this evening. And we're talking to a Welsh couple beside us, and they're due to fly out on Thursday. And they actually with Emirates through Dubai, and they still haven't heard anything from Emirates either. You know, I think I gather what Emirates are trying to do is get people sorted who are actually in Dubai at the moment and thinking, well, at least you're in a safe country. I'm assuming it's hard to know.
Yeah. There was mention yesterday, I heard the Foreign Affairs Minister here talking about an advisory notice to people in Dubai, whether they're on holidays or Irish citizens, to register with their, I think it was a citizenship portal, maybe I've given it a different name, but it seemed to effectively sound like a kind of a WhatsApp group, you know, to join that for people to get information and to make sure they were registered. I suppose the issue for you though, Tony, is you're not actually in the UAE just yet, but I would have thought the Australians would have had something similar.
Well, that's what I was hoping as well. But the Department of Home Affairs are basically saying to you, well, look, you need to try and get your visa extended some way. So there's a cost to that as well. It's like $500 per person. And we were about 3 or 4 hours yesterday because we don't have we've only got our phones. So we're trying to go through like 20 pages of questions.
Mm.
And we're both in our 60s. And I can't tell you how many times we didn't save stuff and all of a sudden we had to go back.
Oh God, I know.
It was, as I said to your colleague there, I smoked about 40 cigarettes yesterday with the stress of it all.
Of course. Right, I know. Well, look, it is very stressful and I can only, you know, and even just the unexpected additional cost. Australia isn't cheap at the best of times, so having an extra maybe unplanned 3 weeks down under isn't great, and I can fully appreciate that. What contact though, like in terms of communication and trying to get in touch with the Department of Foreign Affairs here in Ireland, what help have they been?
Well, I haven't actually it's the Irish Embassy in Canberra I have been trying to get in contact with, so I've left voice messages with them. I have an Australian telephone number, so I've left the Australian telephone number with them, but no one's got back. But I'm only assuming that they're probably trying to deal with people who are leaving in the next 3 or 4 days and try and get them sorted first. But I'd kind of hope someone would have got back to me today about it, but that just hasn't happened yet.
Well, we can certainly put a request in for you with the Department of Foreign Affairs here and just see what advice they might have. I'm sure there's plenty others that are concerned. I mean, maybe the initial hope was that this might have resolved itself within 2 or 3 days. It doesn't appear that's going to be the case.
It doesn't look like that. And we're not really getting, like the Australian news isn't really giving us a lot of information. I'm looking up, I have a sister living in Dublin, so I was talking to her yesterday, so she's kind of finding information out from that side.
Yes.
You know, it's just, you're kind of caught in limbo.
Absolutely.
You just don't know how long this is going to go on for. You know, I'm saying like it could be worse. We could be stuck in Dubai. You know, it's the two of us here, so we're okay. Like it's probably safer to be here than stuck in the airport car park in Dubai, to be honest.
Well, look, we'll certainly send an email. We'll contact the Foreign Affairs Department, and if we get any update, we'll be in touch with you. Tony, keep in touch with us and let us know how things pan out this time next week. Hopefully, you'll be back in the Emerald Isle.
Lovely. Listen, thank you very much for getting back to me.
The Department of Foreign Affairs have been in touch. Basically, right, long statement, don't pursue anything other than essential journeys. If you're holidaying, living in or travelling through the UAE, Sally Ann, you need to register with the Citizens Registration Facility. It's citizensregistration.dfa.ie. You can call the Consular Crisis Team in Dublin, 01408200. They've increased capacity there at that crisis centre to try and get to speak to as many people as possible, and follow the department's travel advice page on Twitter, on their X account and on the embassy's social media channels, and we'll keep you posted here on News Talk as well. Look after yourself, Sally Ann and Tony. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.